I love that video. Today we're continuing in our series, week two of our series called Awkward Family Christmas. And isn't that so true, that video, when you're watching this, it's have yourself a merry little Christmas, and it kind of has the sounds of everything you want on Christmas, but then if your house is anything like my house, it looks kind of like that. There's the chaos and the craziness that's going on that comes with it too. And there's beauty in that. There's God has purpose in that too. But anyway, let me ask you a question this morning as we get started. And it's this. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to Christmas time, that what we expect to happen or what we hope to happen doesn't always match up with reality? What we expect to happen with our expectations don't always match up with reality. In fact, that perfect Christmas scene that we always envision, that we want in our lives, when the rubber meets the road and when it bumps into reality, oftentimes it looks very, very different. In fact, a couple years ago, since we had the Santa thing going on last week, let me tell you this. A couple years ago, we had this plan as a family to do these private Santa pictures. They were going to be awesome. You know, it was going to be the perfect Christmas photos. We were like, you know, these are the ones that are going to go to Nana, you know? These are the ones that are going to go out to everybody we know. They're going to be perfect. And so, you know, we took our cute little kids, our sweet, precious kids. We got them all dressed up, and they looked so good. And they were so excited to see the Santa that they've been watching on the TV, you know, that one that looks a lot smaller than in real life. And so we had this, you know, perfect plan, you know, to do this sweet little photo shoot with our family, a private photo shoot. And so that was our expectation, you know, have yourself a merry little Christmas. It was going to be great. So that was the expectation, but once we got to the house, to this private Santa photo shoot, in reality, here's what actually came out. Kelsey was one at the time, she was barely one, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, and dads, you know this look if you've got daughters, it's that, oh my goodness, why would you give me to this evil man, right? And so she's screaming like, Daddy, why could you, how could you? And Peyton's looking like, I gotta escape this really awkward situation that my sister got me, and she's embarrassing me in front of Santa. Here's another shot of what it looked like, you know, it didn't get any better the whole time. Peyton's like, get me away from this awkward situation. So we decided, no problem, we're going to do it again. And so we actually had Santa show up at our church, and he spoke kind of like what happened last week. And we were like, this is going to be good. They've had practice. They're good. We've talked about it. Santa's good, not bad. He wants what's best for you. And here's the second shot that happened when we got to the church. Even worse, you know? And it was this sheer terror of like, Dad, I told you I don't like this stuff. Kelsey's screaming at the top of her lungs, and Peyton was thinking, this just got awkward again. So just last night, I had another awkward Christmas moment, right? I had a really awkward Christmas moment, but it was an awkward church family moment. Now, remember, I'm the pastor, okay? Yeah, you all know that, but just here's the thing. It was this awkward moment where what I expected to happen didn't exactly match up to reality. So what was happening, as many of you realized, today we're doing just one service, 11 o'clock, wanted to make sure the roads were clear, wanted to make sure, just to be safe, everybody was going to be good. So we did one service, and so we're trying to get the word out. So way to go, you're here. Sorry if you showed up an hour earlier. Anyway, here's the thing. We were getting the word out, we sent emails out, and I was texting somebody in my refresh group just to make sure, hey, want to make sure you got the memo. And I got this text message back from her, and it said, oh, wow, you guys are so great. You guys are so on top of it. You're so thorough. I got the church email. I saw the Facebook post. I even got a text message from somebody else right before you texted me. Y'all are so thorough. And so feeling kind of good about myself, you know, thinking like, man, we did a good job with this. Here's what I texted to her. Here's the text. Bam, we're a follow-up machine. You know, that was my text message to her. Bam, we're a follow-up machine. Feeling good about myself. Except that's what I expected to send, you know? I sent this text message, and that was the expectation, and that's what I pressed send, but autocorrect got involved, and the bam turned into a four-letter word that starts with D, coming from the pastor of the church saying, blank, exclamation point, we're a follow-up machine. And just imagine getting that text message from a pastor, right? You know, we're a contemporary church here, right? But anyway, it was so fun. I texted back and said, please come back, you know. This is, it'll only get weirder from here. But anyway, talking about a really awkward church family situation, right? Maybe you can relate to this. Just wanted to let you know, this is why I'm on the good-ish list instead of the good list. But anyway, today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about a really awkward situation that happened on the first Christmas. Maybe not as awkward as a cuss word from your pastor, but anyway, it's a really awkward situation that happened on the first Christmas where somebody's expectation, what they were expecting to happen, didn't match up with reality. And it's found in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Here's how the story goes. It says this: this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, say before they came together, it says she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Imagine telling that story. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You know, when your expectations, what you're expecting to happen, doesn't match up to reality, you often find yourself in a really awkward situation. And so, you know, I know Mary is the headliner of the Christmas story, and Mary and Jesus, but we're going to give Joseph a little bit of publicity today, if that's okay, you know, for the guys in here. We're gonna look at his perspective here on the Christmas story, because Joseph, you're going to see today, he was a man of tremendous faith, of incredible faith, faith that goes way beyond what most of us would be able to lean into. And here's the thing, Joseph, he had these great plans. Joseph and Mary, they were engaged to be married, and back then, an engagement was pretty much like you're married. It was even more so. And so, anyway, they're expecting to get married, and they had these great hopes and plans for their future. He was probably envisioning what it was going to be like getting to actually, instead of dating or being in the engaged courting stage, that they were going to actually be able to, like, hey, we're going to get to build a life together here. And so they had all these hopes and plans until one day before Christmas even happened, he got this word that, Joseph, the plans have changed. The plans have changed. Now, one of the things that I've learned as a pastor, one of the things that I've seen as a pastor, is that when it comes to ministry, I've seen that people are really afraid. People are really fearful of change. Have you ever seen that before? People are fearful of change. In fact, sometimes what I found is that people are fearful of maybe taking a step forward in their faith. Because if I were to take that step forward, I don't know exactly if I'm going to like the change that God might bring into my life. And so we're fearful of change. I think it also happens organizationally. It happens with churches. I've been involved in a whole lot of churches, and I see this happen all the time with churches. People are fearful of change. In fact, one of the things that I see all the time is that even churches, they keep doing the same thing that they've always done, even if it's not working. Just keep pressing play and doing the same thing, hoping to get a different result. You know, that's insanity, right? That's the definition of insanity. But here's the thing, trying to kind of maintain the status quo because people are fearful of change. But I came across this quote from Ronald Heipfitz, I love this when it comes to change. Here's what Ronald Heipfitz said, interesting name. He said this about change: what people resist is not change per se, but loss. See, people aren't really fearful of change, but people, we are oftentimes fearful of that we're going to lose something. That if a change happens in our lives or around us, that we might lose something. That we might have to sacrifice something or give up something. And this is the scene for Joseph, isn't it? It's not about the change that's going on. It's, oh my goodness, there seems like there's going to be a whole lot of loss here. You know, the life Joseph had envisioned and the expectations that were in his mind became this messy reality. And it seemed to him like it wasn't just a change, but there was going to be a loss that he didn't choose for himself. He didn't plan this. He didn't expect it. And you think about all the things that were at stake for Joseph, all the things that he could be losing. First of all, his relationship with Mary, you know? You don't know all the work that went into that relationship, and maybe he'd been praying for a girl that God would send into his life, and there she was. And then all of a sudden with this, there's been a change of plans, word, all that might be a loss. He could also lose his reputation. He could lose his reputation. Think about what people might be saying about him. And at the same time, this change could mean that he could experience a loss of the hopeful future that they expected together. He might have to start all over. And so I imagine that many of you can relate to the scene really well when it comes to your expectations, or when your expectations collide with reality. I imagine you can relate to this when maybe a change that's happening around you or to you feels more like a loss. Maybe you've been there before. And maybe it looks like this. Maybe for this Christmas, it means for you that maybe there's an empty seat at the Christmas table. Maybe it means for you that there's a strained relationship that just can't be resolved in some kind of way. Or maybe there's a chaotic situation that broke out into your peaceful, merry Christmas experience. And so this is what's happening for Joseph on the first Christmas, this change that seemed like a loss. And this is the awkward family Christmas experience that God decided to step into the world and to send his son to be with us. I think it's interesting. So when we see the chaos of our Christmas story and we try to experience this perfect family photo ops, that I think what Christmas really looks like is to take all the wrapping paper off of it. It really, the first Christmas looked a lot more messy, maybe like your life. And so here's the thing. Joseph is looking at this plan, and here was Joseph's plan. Here's what Joseph planned to do with all the stuff that was happening. Here's what it is. His plan was this: don't cause a scene. I don't want to cause a scene here, you know? Things have gotten really bad. Things have gotten really out of hand. I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to cause a scene. And some of you are like, I wish my family would get that memo, right? I wish this is like the plan that we had. Like when things get awkward, don't cause a scene, you know? Joseph, he planned to run away. He planned to run away from the chaos or the awkward embarrassment of the situation. And what does it say? It says that he planned to divorce Mary quietly, you know? Don't cause a scene. And the reason he wanted to do this is because he jumped to a conclusion, didn't he? Joseph jumped to a conclusion about Mary and about the situation without understanding the context. He jumped to a conclusion without understanding the context. And so here's the thing, like most of us would, he jumped to a conclusion that Mary had an extracurricular relationship, you could say, right? Can we be real? This is the Christmas story. He almost, in the middle of that, he almost chose to walk away. He almost chose to walk away from and really miss God's greatest blessing that God wanted to bring into the lives of people all over the world because he didn't want to make a scene when things got messy. And it just makes me wonder in our lives when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our Christmas story, our Christmas moments, that how many times do we jump to conclusions? How many times do we jump to conclusions and miss God's best? Because we don't fully understand the context. In other words, maybe something's going on in somebody's life and they react in some way. The thing is, we don't always know what they're going through. They might be going through something that you didn't even know the context. Or maybe sometimes we don't understand, you know, why the plan got changed by that person. It's the context. Or, like Joseph, sometimes we oftentimes don't realize that God might actually be working behind the scenes in that very situation that you thought was messed up. God was actually working in the middle of that to bring about your redemption. Context. And so here's how the story continues, verse 20. It says this. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. This is Isaiah he's quoting. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And so I think it's interesting here that the angel, delivered the exact same message that Mary got last week. Remember the message last week that Mary received from the angel when God wanted to use her? And it's the exact same message we're going to see later in this series that that God gave to the shepherds on the first Christmas. Here's the message. Do not be afraid. Look, I know this is chaotic. I know you don't understand it. I know it looks like that this change is going to lead to some kind of loss, but do not be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid of the change that doesn't match up with what you had planned. Don't be afraid of and let your fear of the future or your confusion about this awkward situation prevent you from trusting God in the middle of it. Don't be afraid. And maybe that's the message that God wants to give to you today. Maybe it's a message that kind of like this, maybe the message is this: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the change that God wants to bring into your life. Don't be afraid of the change God wants to bring into your life. You never know what God is wanting to do on this Christmas. And here's the thing, God may be saying to many of you today, maybe it's time to not make a scene in our minds and to jump to conclusions without fully understanding the context of what God might be doing. Because sometimes what's in our mind isn't what God has in store, is it? Sometimes what we have planned isn't what is God's best plan for us. And so when things get messy and chaotic and when things seem to go unexpected, something unexpected happens, it's tempting to do what Joseph almost did, to run away from that situation, to run away from the mess and say, that's the easy thing to do. But the invitation of God really on Christmas was this, to lean in and to embrace it and to trust that even in the middle of the chaos that God might just be working to bring about something even better that he has in store. And so sometimes we have to abandon our own expectations sometimes, right? We have to abandon what we oftentimes want in order to experience the new thing that God might be wanting to do. And so maybe for you, you're facing something right now, maybe in this very Christmas season, that didn't seem to go as planned. Maybe it seemed like you got a similar word that's like, there's been a change of plans from what you envisioned. And I just want to ask you this, is it possible that what you had planned is so much less than what God was wanting to do and what God has planned for you? I mean, is it possible that that very obstacle might be God actually setting you up for an even greater comeback? The thing is, I don't want to encourage you not to be afraid, to step into the mess, to lean into the chaos, or even this Christmas, to embrace your new future, because you'll often find God standing right there, leading you into something greater that you didn't even see coming. And so here's the thing. I love the next thing that they say in verse 22. I love how it says this: all this took place. All this took place to fulfill. It means that there was purpose in all of it. Here's the thing. It says all this took place. And so for Joseph, it's look, all this mess and all this chaos and all this confusion and all this awkward situation, all this took place to fulfill something that God was wanting to do. Now here's the thing, do you realize what all this represented for Joseph? Do you know what all this was for him, all this mess? I mean, think about what people would say about Joseph. Think about all the things that people would be thinking about Joseph. I mean, think about just being the baby's daddy, but yet not really. And imagine how many times he looked at Mary before the first Christmas and wondered, did an angel really come to her, or There's something else going on? God, can I really trust that what you said is really the deal, that biologically doesn't make a whole lot of sense? Can I really trust that this really happened? There was a lot of all this in this Christmas story. All this took place. And in fact, the thing that I've realized is in order to embrace a new a life of faith, it means that we have to embrace the fact that God might be doing something. God might be building something under the surface of even our chaotic situations to bring about your good and to further his glory. The scripture says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophets. That means all this junk that he was going through, Joseph was going through, God had a purpose in all of it. And it just means that your hardships are headed somewhere. You know, the thing that I love about God is that even when we go through things in our life, God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a disappointment. And it doesn't mean that God causes everything to happen. It doesn't mean that God made it happen. But here's what I've realized. It means that there's nothing that you've ever been through. There's nothing that you'll ever go through. And that there's, and really, there's nothing that someone could ever do to you that God won't somehow get a hold of and to work his purpose out of. And the thing is, the same God who brought hope from a barn on the first Christmas has the ability to bring hope out of your broken situations even this Christmas. So keep holding on, because God's got purpose in even the things that seem like a loss. And so I want you to remember here in this story, okay, this is great, this invitation, all this stuff. Remember, Joseph still had a decision to make, didn't he? I mean, there is this really awkward situation that he's in, and he's got a decision. I mean, the decision is this. It's kind of like, do I send Mary away, or do I take care? Do I bring Mary home? Do I send Mary away, or do I bring Mary home? And the easy thing would be to just walk away from the mess, to walk away from the chaos of the awkward situation. But the other hand, the invitation is to maybe embrace the mess and to find out what God might have in store. And here's what happens, verse 24. It says this. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. It says, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, which means God saves. God saves. God saves. In the middle of an incredibly broken situation, God brought his message that God saves. Think about Joseph. He was about to divorce her quietly. He was about to divorce the very one that he was called to assist to bring about Jesus, God saves, into the world. He almost divorced the great purpose that God had for him in all this because he didn't fully understand the context. And so it just seems like a hardship that can't be redeemed for Joseph on the surface. But instead, Joseph did the hard thing. He did the hard thing. He chose to follow God, and he chose to take Mary home as his wife. He took Mary home. And when he took Mary home, he didn't just take home a wife. He took home all the chaos. He took home all the hardship and all the scandal and all the pain and all the awkwardness of the situation. And at first, it seemed like it was a hardship that he didn't want in his life. It was a hardship he didn't want in his story. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there are hardships and pain and things that you've gone through. You're like, I don't want this in my story. This is a blip on the radar that I have never wanted to be there. Or maybe you're walking through something right now. Maybe you're in the middle of something that seems like a change of plans, and it's a speed bump along the way, and it's one of those things like, I wish this wasn't in my story. I wish things would have been different. The thing is, Joseph almost chose to walk away, and he almost missed Emmanuel, God coming to be with us. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Have you been maybe pushing away the very change that God brought into your life to produce maybe his purpose, his greater purpose in your life? Have you been pushing away the very change that God brought into your life to produce his great purpose in your life? The truth is, none of us want our lives to go unscripted. I like to be the author of my story. Anybody else? I like to kind of have my plans and my dreams, and I want to know from point A to point B to point C, this is where I'm going. Nobody likes when the plan goes unscripted and when things don't go according to our plans. But sometimes when we face a change of plan, sometimes when we face disappointments and detours and pain in our story that we didn't have in our plans, the good news of Christmas is that the thing that produced the greatest amount of pain in your life may be the very thing that God uses to produce the greatest amount of glory in your life. And so, if you'll let God take a hold of it, if you'll let God use it, you never know what God might be doing. And so this Christmas, my prayer is that even in your deepest disappointments, that even in your greatest pain, or even when there seems like to be a change that's going on around you that you didn't plan, you didn't expect, that you will discover that Jesus is your Emmanuel, that he is God with you, that he is God working for you, and he is God who is working in all things and at all times to bring about his glory and to bring about your good. Here's the thing. What I know in this message really to Joseph on Christmas is this, is that no matter what you've been through, that God can actually work it into his purposes for your life. That God is always working under the surface of your situation, under the surface of your disappointments, to further his glory and to bring about your good, if you trust him, if you lean into the mess. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this reminder. Thank you for this difficult story from Joseph and the awkward situation that most of us look at and we want to look away because it's such an awkward experience for him. But God, I thank you so much that you put stories like this in the scripture because we face awkward situations in our lives where maybe things didn't go according to plans, where things, maybe we're disappointed by things that happened, or there's blips in our story that we wish God would be erased. But God, I thank you so much that even in the middle of all of that, that you can take our deepest disappointments, our deepest discouragements, you can take even our greatest hurts, and you can work it around and to create purpose out of it. God, I just pray for some of us in here today. For many of us, Christmas is an exciting time where there's a lot of expectation, a lot of things we're looking forward to. But God, I also realize that this is also a season that for many people, that there is a sense of loss of some things, maybe some disappointments for some things. And I pray that in the middle of all that, God, that you would show us that you're Emmanuel, you're God with us. God, maybe there's somebody in here today who needs to know the truth of and needs to experience you as God with us, Emmanuel, for the very first time. And maybe, God, there's somebody in here who's never stepped across the line, never leaned into that potential change that you want to bring into their lives by entering into a relationship with you. And if that's you in here today, maybe you would pray in your seat. If you want to step across the line to receive Jesus, maybe you'd pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I need you in my life. God, I can relate to the chaos and the mess and the disappointments and the times that I've fallen short. God, today I thank you so much that you chose to come on Christmas for me, even me. God, I thank you for coming down and for putting on flesh and then for going to a cross, being crucified on a cross, your blood spilled out for me, even me. And then, God, I also thank you for getting out of that grave on Easter so that you could get me out of mine. And so, Jesus, today I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living, and I surrender my life to you. God, I pray that you would be the savior of my sins and the leader of my life, and from this moment on, I turn to you. Jesus, as we lean into this time, as we continue worshiping you, I pray that we would discover that you are our Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen.